Hi guys, welcome to episode 2 of Live the Life You Love podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be discussing everything got to do with ego. So, to start off, I just want to say that what I'm talking about here is essentially your mind. The ego is not, you know, this kind of picture of somebody who brags about a lot of things that they have or tries to impose an image that they are better than other people or whatever. That's not what we're talking about here. What we are talking about here is the mind, the little voice in our head that tells us, just that little voice in your head, basically. Okay, so to start off, the ego is basically the part of ourselves, that is operating from fear. It stems from when we were, I suppose, way back when we were hunter-gatherers and we went around in tribes and we needed to basically stick in the tribe in order to survive. And, you know, if people didn't like you or if they abandoned you or rejected you, you were out on your own trying to survive and your likelihood, chances of surviving was not that all that great. So that's where it stems from. So the ego operates from a place of fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, fear of judgment. And how that shows up is basically, you know, not wanting to stand out from the crowd or not wanting to be perceived as unsuccessful or a failure, things like that. And the ego, so it's that voice in our head that is essentially telling us you're not good enough for this, or everybody's like looking at you and laughing at you for that, which essentially, like, the ego is very, it takes everything very personally and it doesn't take into account that we are literally just little blips in other people's lives. You know, like, I'm not constantly thinking about your one in the shop and what she's wearing. Like, I don't even, that doesn't even pass my mind, because I'm thinking about me. And the ego will tell us that whatever we're wearing in the shop, or, you know, like, say me going into the shop, I hate my hair, I hate my makeup, like, what are people going to think if they see me like this? Like, your ego thinks that, and in reality, like, nobody gives that much of a fuck about you to be judging you, but your ego thinks it does because it takes everything personally. And so your ego loves to identify with form. If you have ever read any of Eckhart Tolle's books, you will understand what I mean. And with form, I mean, like, just these labels, right? Loves to identify with labels. So football teams, political parties, like religious or spiritual beliefs, bands, singers, anything like that. And basically what this does for the ego is it strengthens itself. It kind of reassures itself that it's somebody or someone and that it's important and it feels seen. And basically also what it does is the ego loves to be right, okay? So because the ego loves to be right, there's always going to be a conflicting, I don't know, football team, conflicting political party or belief system or, I don't know, band or whatever. And so it's going to say to you, wow, like, that band or party or whatever is wrong, I'm right. And so, because, again, the ego loves to be right, it's feeling more strengthened, it's feeling more secure in its identity. And that's what it clings on to. It clings on to the security that identity gives us. So it mightn't also be organizations or things, like I said before. It could be identity, like, I'm a mom or I'm a sister, I'm a life coach, I'm whatever job occupation you are. It strengthens itself through this because it makes us feel like we're almost important or we're part of something bigger than just us. When in reality, you are not your job. You work as a life coach like me, you work as a life coach, or you have been on this earth for 20 years, or you have siblings, but that doesn't necessarily make you. So I don't know if any of you guys have ever heard of an ego death, but basically this happens to some people. Sometimes it's when they come at a great crisis in their life, like a death of a loved one, or they're just like really depressed or not aligned, they're operating from the ego massively. Or even sometimes when people are taking, I think, like psychedelics, like magic mushrooms or something like that, they can experience an ego death. And if you've ever heard anybody talk about this, it's basically where they didn't recognize themselves. Like nothing that they have ever, like they've always identified with other things, with other people, with their relationships with people, with their job, what they're studying, but they never actually identified themselves as nothing, but just said, you know what, I'm me, I'm an experience, I cannot tell you who I am because no words will ever be able to get close to the essence of my being, basically. And they just, it's so scary for them because, like I said, the ego is strengthened through identity, and when they lose this identity, like, it's just so terrifying. Anyways, that was a bit of a spiel, but anyways, so the ego just needs identity to strengthen itself. So how identities can also show up as in life, when you are in a situation, sorry, I'm just getting at my notes here. When you're in a situation, you may perceive yourself as a victim. I have done this. There's no shame in doing this because, again, it's not really you that's operating through this. It's your ego. You know, and if you know people that are like this, it's okay to recognize it in them, but don't feel superior because that's your ego. Don't feel superior because you're not acting like a victim or whatever in their life, or acting like they're better than others or whatever, because that is also you operating from your ego. But not all of us have access to the self-awareness to be able to catch ourselves out in things. Anyways, but basically how the ego can show up is in a victim. And I don't know if you've been through this or if you know people that have been through this, but basically a situation might have happened and it mightn't be good or bad, because like I said earlier, the ego loves labels and it labels everything as either good or bad. And they could have been through a situation that they labeled as good or as bad, sorry, and somebody did something, or they had an argument with them, or they said this to them, and they latch on to that. And they sometimes, they just, like, I've noticed sometimes you just kind of go over and over the situation, you can't stop talking about it. It might have been years since it's happened, you still are going over and over and over it. And what that does is it strengthens the identity of the ego as a victim, but it also keeps you from not being accountable. Like, so the ego feels safe because it's in a state of victimhood. You know, it's telling itself that, you know, they were wrong and I am right. So I don't have to take any accountability. I don't have to say that I was wrong, or this was the wrong thing that I did in the situation, or this is how I contributed to the ending or the outcome, because I was a victim. And the ego loves, it thrives in that state, because people feel sorry for it, they give it attention, they're like, oh my god, you poor thing. And then again, strengthens the ego's feeling of being superior. And so, like I touched on there, the ego tends to label things as good or bad. And this has a huge role in the way that we perceive our reality. This can strengthen how it strengthens your perception of the world. So if you have a perception of the world that I'm a victim, it could label loads of things as bad and it'll strengthen itself. But in reality, things are never actually really good or bad, and they are actually just what they are, you know, and it's up to you to perceive them as good or bad or just as they are. So a kind of example that I can give from personal experience of this is when I was 13, was it? Yeah, I was 13. My dad died, right? Now, obviously, loads of people would say that's a really bad thing. And obviously, it wasn't a great thing. I loved my dad. I was really close with him. And we had a great relationship, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But saying that, saying it as a coming from a place of it just is what it is, that's what happens, the only thing guaranteed in life is death, that I wouldn't be the person that I am today without that experience. I now know that I can deal with grief and get over it, and I can work through it. I also know that like, I'm strong because I have that experience on my belt kind of thing. And also, I wouldn't be where I am today. Like, I wouldn't be down this spiritual path, and I really do believe this, if it wasn't for him dying. I do feel like, in a sense, him dying brought me down this path. And also, I would probably be living a life that is not authentic to me, because he really thought the idea of college and going to college was the only way to be successful. So I probably would be sitting in college and enjoying my life a lot right now. And also, I wouldn't meet the people that I have met, or I wouldn't have moved probably to where I am living now, and I wouldn't have the friends that I had. I probably wouldn't even had any relationships I've ever had, because he did not like boys, let's just say. But so I can't really, like, even though it was a sad situation and a situation that was really, really tough, I'm not gonna say it was a bad thing. It was definitely not a good thing. It was just a thing that happened, you know. And so that's a perspective that you can take on as well. Like, anybody can take on this perspective. And trust me, it's taken me about 7 years to take on this perspective on that situation. But I am a better person for it now, because I'm not living in that victimhood, like, oh, my dad's dead and blah, blah, blah. Not that I was, but I could have been. Okay, anyways, that was a fucking rant. Okay, so how it shows up. So I don't know if I said before, but basically, as we all probably know, we are made up as human beings of three main components: of your mind, your body, and your spirit, or your soul, whatever you want to call it. Depending on what your religion is, it could be spirit or soul. And when one of our components is out of whack, like our ego, which resides in the mind, it will show up in the other two as... it will give us symptoms. So when you're living from a place of ego, you won't feel purposeful in your life. You won't have like a, what do they call it? Like a zest for life. And this comes from your soul. There won't be an excitement for just living. You won't be feeling in alignment, and you won't be feeling purposeful. And I honestly, up until about I was 20, until I turned 20, and I only turned 20 like 6 months ago, I didn't understand that I could feel like this every day. Like, I didn't understand that I could feel like I'm in alignment with everything I did and everything I do, because I was operating from the ego up until that point. And like, let me just say, I'm not here ego free or whatever. Like, the ego has a purpose, and I'll get into that later. But it's a everyday battle, and it's almost a skill that you have to acquire and have to work on. But it's so worth it. So that's how it shows up in your spirit or in your soul. And in your body, if you're operating from a place of ego, your nervous system is going to be out of whack. You're going to be anxious. You're going to be feeling worried and stressed all the time. Like, your cortisol levels are going to be spiked, because you're just not living authentically, and you're letting this I don't even know, like, what would you call the ego? Like, kind of like a piece of you that isn't really you. Like, you're letting fear run your life. That's basically what I'm trying to say. You're letting it run your life, and you're not doing anything about it. And so it's you're going to be in a state of fear. And fear can show up in many different ways. Like I said, like, you can feel it physically, like through anxiety, worry, stress, even anger or hatred or depression for your life. You're like, what the fuck? You feel like you have no control over your life. And not only that, it can also be physical things. So I know personally, I'm an emotional eater. So that's one thing. I'll gain weight. I'll eat and I'll gain weight. I also break out a lot when I'm doing something from a place of fear or hate or from my ego. I will break out, and I actually did that recently, but she's clearing up now, which is a slay. And also things like, you just might feel like achy in your body. I don't know if that makes sense. For me it does, but if you feel that way, you'll get what I'm saying. And it'll just feel like something's wrong. You won't be able to pinpoint it. Your immune system is going to be out of whack, because your nervous system isn't doing great, because of your ego obviously is setting off the fear. And you will feel it. You won't know what it is. You're just going to think that's just the way my body operates, but it's not. You don't have to accept that at all. Just know that there's something out of alignment. And it's kind of like, I don't know, like every, I don't know if you ever heard that. What's this? It's a sound on TikTok anyways. And it's like, everything is always connected. And it is so true. I love that sound because it is. Everything is always connected. How you are showing up in your life or how your ego is showing up for you will also, it won't just show up for you in your mind. It's going to show up in certain ways in your body and in your soul. Okay, that was a tangent. So a kind of exercise that you could kind of do if you kind of want to see how your ego is showing up, let's say, in your body, is I would say, like, let's say you notice yourself thinking like, oh, the fucking state of me going to this shop now looking like this, which is your ego being like, I don't want anybody to judge me, I don't want anybody to make an opinion about me or see me like this because I'm feeling insecure. Just notice how you feel in your body when you're thinking these thoughts or when you go into the shop looking like that. Like, notice how that shows up. Oh my god, my cat. I swear to god, my cat just loves to come up here and sit on my laptop when I'm doing this. But anyways, basically, yeah, just see how you were reacting physically to that kind of situation. Okay, so I want to tie this into manifestation because even though the ego is a huge part of self-development and spirituality and healing, it can show up in manifestations when you are crafting your life and crafting your goals for your life, for your relationship, your career, anything. It can show up because you might have beliefs, and I've talked about beliefs in my last episode, but you might have these beliefs about what success looks like, and they might tie in also with your, how you want to be perceived by other people. And that can show up with you choosing a career path or a relationship, or even down to how you like want to look or whatever, based on what other people's opinions are. And that all obviously comes from a place of just wanting to be accepted. And everybody is like this. We all feel like this. We all just want to be accepted as who we are. But the ego tells us that we have to be accepted by being basically like everybody else. That is the only way we're going to be accepted, when that is just simply not true. And that's why we kind of create goals that are more palatable to everybody else. So if you, let's say you wanted to do something that, you know, not many people might have done, like your ego is going to tell you like you're not going to be able to achieve that, you know, you should just go with this safer option, the option that kind of the road more traveled. And that's going to not give you your soul's purpose. Like, you're gonna, like, you might be in a job that you fucking hate, but you're just like, do you know what, I need the security, the money. If I quit, I won't be able to make it. It all obviously stems from fear. But you have to ask yourself, like, when you are creating these goals, is this in alignment with who I am? Is this what my own personal version of success looks like to me? I spoke about how in the last episode, how your own version of success is what's going to get you your manifestations, not somebody else's, because then that means that you're living out of alignment. And like, am I creating this goal or this life or this career to impress somebody else, to get somebody else's approval, to get somebody else's praise, like, or somebody else's acceptance? Like, is that why I'm doing this? Or am I doing it for my own approval? Am I doing it for my own acceptance? To be like, do you know what? This is what I wanted, and this is how I'm going to do it for myself. And another question that you can ask yourself is, like, when I think about this particular goal or relationship or whatever, do I feel excited? Like, how do I feel in my body? I keep going back to the body because I think it's something that's very overlooked. You know, we just think it's just here doing its our own biological functions, but it also can indicate a lot of things to us. Like, how do I feel about this? Is this goal right for me? And you know, because if you think about it, you might just kind of drift off into like a dreamland almost, and like feel so excited and so happy and content and maybe aligned with this goal. Or are you kind of feeling a bit stiff? Like, do you feel a bit out of alignment, kind of feel a bit stressed maybe about the goal that you're working towards? Do you feel like it's gonna tire you out a lot? That can also be an indicator that you are, the goals that you're working towards just aren't for you, and it could be your ego, you know, making these goals for other people, or it could just be because you actually don't know what you want, and you think you might want this thing, but you mightn't. So that's a really good question to ask. And the last thing I want to get into is to how to actually catch your ego out. That's kind of like a weird way to put it, but what I mean is to unidentify from the ego. I'm going to give you an exercise on how to unidentify from the ego. So basically what you're going to do is, after obviously I give all the instructions, is you're going to focus on your breath for about a minute and breathe in and out deeply. So what this does is you're connecting with your body, and you're also slowing down your mind, and you're creating space for presence. And that's basically what presence is. It's just space. And after about a minute or two of doing that, just let your thoughts flow in. Let your thoughts about anything and everything flow in, and just notice how, or even if you want clarity or just to figure a certain situation or thing out yourself, just purposely think about that thought, and then notice what feelings come out of that particular situation or whatever, and notice what other thoughts are coming out, like what the self-talk is behind that thought, and just watch it, just observe and be aware of all the thoughts that you were doing or you were kind of listening to. And what this does is you are going to be creating space between you, which at the core essence of our being, we are just consciousness experiencing this life. So you are creating space between the consciousness, which is you, and the awareness of your thoughts and your actual thoughts, and this space is called presence. And when you're operating from this kind of area of space, you're more clear, you're clear-minded, you're not being controlled by opinions, your judgments, your ego's opinions, your ego's judgments, or, you know, your ego going into maybe defensiveness if there's a situation where your ego feels like it's an attack. You can navigate any situation with a clear mind. So practice just breathing and looking at your thoughts. And also, because you're connecting to your body, feel how those emotions come up with certain thoughts, and ask yourself, like, am I constantly, because sometimes our minds are addicted to thinking a thought that doesn't make us feel good, and just ask yourself, do I want to feel this again? Like, why am I doing this? And make the conscious intention to just let go of whatever that thought is that's bringing up fear, anxiety, shame, disappointment, guilt, whatever it is. And try just practice being aware of what you're thinking. And I'm telling you guys, it will change your life. It will change your life. You'll be more clear-headed. You'll be more non-reactive, because you're not reacting from a place of ego. You're reacting from a place of consciousness. And you'll also just realize that your perception is all that that is. It's just a perception. I hope that makes sense. Anyways, I hope you guys like this episode. I'm going to end it here because that was a lot to take in, but thank you so much for listening. And if you like this episode, please give me a rating on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in next episode.